Something happened. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. I have a true story for you today. It will be an interesting story, and it's going to be in two parts. This is part one. However, if you're interested in part two, I will record that part two episode in a little over 1 year. Really. When I finish here today, you will understand exactly why. It all goes back to the way I started. Something happened. So let me set the stage. In English, if you say set the stage, it tells people the background information so that the story makes sense. So setting the stage is metaphorical. It's an idiom. If you've watched many of these videos on the Input English channel, you might know that I'm a member of a community band. This is a group of between 50 and 60 musicians who come together regularly and rehearse so that we can give a series of concerts throughout the year. Members of this band do not derive income from being in the band. We don't get a paycheck. We actually pay a fee each year to help cover all the expenses for the band. As a group, we need to pay rent on our rehearsal hall, and we have to pay rent for the concert hall. None of the musicians in our band are paid by the band. So it's a volunteer band. The reason we do this is for the pleasure of playing wonderful music that requires this many performers. Ever since I was a kid, I played the tuba. I've played the tuba for decades, although there were periods in my life during my educational phase that I didn't play the tuba very often. There were many years that I didn't own a tuba. This bothered me because I wanted to play the tuba, but for many years, I didn't own one. When I joined the faculty at UC Davis, I received my first real-life paycheck. It was the first paycheck that was a living wage. It wasn't huge, but it was enough that we didn't have to worry too much about money at that point. Shortly after I received my first paycheck at UC Davis, on Saturday, my wife and I discussed what we would be doing on the weekend. What did we want to do? We were living in Sacramento at the time. I told her that I had made arrangements that we would go over to San Jose because I wanted to talk to a fellow about a tuba. Now, my wife knew that I played the tuba. We had discussed that. But since I didn't have one, she didn't give it much thought. She didn't realize that I was rather obsessed with the tuba and was confounded that I didn't own one. So on Saturday, we drove over to San Jose, and I talked to a fellow who sold tubas. I looked at about 5 different models, and I bought the 3rd one. He gave me a good price, and it was a fine tuba. I played it for years. Later on, I replaced it with a better model, but having a tuba allowed me to practice, bring my skills up, and then join the community band. I've been a member of this community band for about 10 years, although there was a hiatus for most of us during the pandemic. When we came back after the pandemic and started to rehearse, I noticed a couple of things. I noticed that the band was a little smaller. We had lost a few members who didn't come back after the pandemic. I also noticed that we played much better. It appeared to me that during the pandemic, people spent some time practicing because the skills I saw after we came back from the pandemic were wonderful. When I said something happened, it happened a couple of weeks ago at one of our routine Monday evening rehearsals. We had been rehearsing for about an hour and a half, and it sounded really good. It was coming together. If you're working on a project, or in this case, if you're working on music as an ensemble, if it's coming together, it means it's improving and getting to the point that you're very satisfied with it. It's coming together. It's almost finished. So after about an hour and a half of playing, the band director stopped and put down his baton. He said, "I need to talk to you." He had a very serious look on his face. His demeanor was rather solemn. Now, a band with 50 members, it's hard to get everyone paying attention and focused because people have a lot of things going on in their mind. Some people are checking their phone. Some people are talking to the person next to them. There's a lot of hubbub. That is, there's a lot of background noise generated by a group of this size. However, when the band director said, "There's something I need to tell you," his somber, foreboding delivery got everyone's attention. He intensified that sensation by saying that he had done something and we need to know about it. At this point, everyone was on the edge of their seat. That is an expression for being very alert, very focused, waiting for what's going to happen next. Anticipation. It was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. The expression, "you could hear a pin drop," is a common expression in English to indicate that it was silent. So far in the band director's delivery, he had not smiled at all. This was dead serious. Now, this is a little out of character. It's not his usual style. Mostly when he talks to the band, when he addresses us as a group, he does so with a smile. His deliveries are usually very lighthearted. So this somber delivery was out of character. At this point, my mind was racing. I was trying to figure out what he was going to tell us that was so serious. I was wondering if he might have a health problem. Perhaps he had resigned as our band director and we would be looking for a new conductor. It actually created a little bit of fear, a little anticipation on my part, but that didn't last long. He quickly disclosed what was afoot, what was happening. He told us that he had made arrangements that this band would perform at Carnegie Hall in Manhattan. He then did something very clever. He pointed to all of the members by sweeping his index finger across the room, and he said, "All of you will go." That I took as an affirmation. That is, he made a statement that he is wishing for, hoping for, and expecting, and he's hoping that his delivery, assuring us that we'll all go, will help us decide that indeed we will go. After all, a band of 50 to 60 members going to Carnegie Hall won't give a very good concert if only 12 people show up. He needs the whole band to go. So he used a clever, honest way of doing that. He assured us in an affirmation that we would all go. Everyone in the room was thunderstruck. Everyone was surprised. Everyone was delighted. We were quickly processing how we could pull it off. Pull it off is an expression that means how could we accomplish it? How could we pull it off? How could we swing it? Those are two idioms we use to discuss how could we accomplish it. So I was wondering to myself, How could I pull it off? For a trip of this magnitude and a group this big, everyone has their own concerns. Everybody has their own issues that they need to deal with. Some people will have to grapple with the expense. It's not going to be cheap to do this. Some people will need to save up the money or perhaps borrow the money to make such a magnificent trip. Other people might have trouble taking that much time off from work. My circumstance is pretty straightforward. I play the tuba. My instrument is very big and very heavy. I also don't want that instrument damaged en route. I need to protect the tuba, and I need to make arrangements that it get there so that I could play it. I actually went online to see if I might rent a tuba in New York. I didn't find any way to do that, but it is a possibility. I don't have a hard case for this tuba that I want to play, so I may have to buy a case, which will add to the expense. On the other hand, how often do you get to play Carnegie Hall? I may have to buy a case. Someone who plays a smaller instrument, like a flute or a clarinet, can just put it in their backpack. Larger instruments, like trombones and saxophones, will have to be checked as luggage. You can't carry on a large instrument. The airlines set their limits, and people will be doing their research to see if their instrument can be brought carry-on or whether it has to be checked in the hold of the airplane. A large tuba is not a gray area. A large tuba will have to go in the baggage compartment. The band director has told us that he's going to provide the music so that we can practice in anticipation of this magnificent trip. I believe that this trip to Carnegie Hall is going to change each and every one of us. To understand that, let's tell you a story within the story. This is an anecdote that is easily found on the internet in various versions. The version I am most familiar with is about a pedestrian, someone walking on Fifth Avenue in New York, and this pedestrian wanted directions. So he stopped someone on the street and asked directions. In this story, the person he stopped to ask directions was the famous violinist Yasha Heifetz. As the story goes, the pedestrian asked Mr. Heifetz, "How might one get to Carnegie Hall?" Mr. Heifetz answered with a single word. He said, "Practice." There are variations of that story where the answer is practice, practice, practice. It is my considered opinion that the members of this ensemble are going to take this trip so seriously that we're going to substantially increase the amount of practice we do. I can guarantee you that I will. I will definitely practice more each day, each week, each month, because I want to give it my best. I want it to be superb. One of the things that we know about music that is very similar to language is there is no perfect. You cannot play perfectly. You can approach perfection. You can strive for perfection. You can desire perfection. But in reality, you do what you do, and there will be flaws. There will be little things about your performance that are not quite right. This is a very human situation. The same thing goes for language. You can consume huge amounts of input. You can study any way you want to acquire a language. You can put decades into that process, And then when you speak, you will make errors from time to time. In both cases, that is the musical context and the linguistic context, we can only hope that these small errors will be incredibly small and trivial, unimportant. So now we have this trip to Carnegie Hall, but it's more than a year in the future. A lot of things can happen in a year. The band director sent out a survey to all the band members, and almost everyone answered that they would plan on going. There is, of course, a big difference between answering a survey and showing up in New York. You can tell by the way I tell this story that I really want to go. The acoustics of the main concert hall, the Isaac Stern Auditorium, are unbelievable. There's a story about that as well. The New York Philharmonic Orchestra performed in Carnegie Hall until 1962, and then they moved to Lincoln Center. It is said that having moved to Lincoln Center after they performed in the concert hall at Lincoln Center, having abandoned Carnegie Hall, the violin players wept. They had lost something. They had lost the acoustics of the Isaac Stern Auditorium. People who have played in Carnegie Hall tell us that the experience changed them. The acoustics of that hall, that Isaac Stern Auditorium, are unique and superb. Some of the preparation for this trip, I simply have to patiently wait for, because the arrangements are being made for the entire group. I am putting money aside for the expense. I am planning for the expense. After all, I have an entire year to prepare for this expense. I'm investigating a proper hard case for my tuba. There's a funny thing about tubas, not funny as in ha-ha amusing, but funny as in peculiar. There's a peculiarity about tubas. In general terms, for orchestral or concert band work, the bigger tubas sound better. It's not that they're louder, the sound just seems bigger. There's more gravitas to the sound of a large tuba. So I don't have the luxury of bringing a small one. Small tubas do exist, and I have one that I use for rehearsals. It's easy to carry, it's easy to get in and out of the car, it's easy to handle, but it doesn't sound as good. So I'm in the unenviable position of bringing my big orchestral tuba, and that's going to need a big case. So I'm doing the research to get a case for that tuba. I don't want it to be damaged because I bought a cheap case. I want to avoid all damage to that instrument. So this is part one of a two-part series, and I promise that in the spring of next year, I will make the second video. You can anticipate that I will actually make a series of videos on the streets of New York. I'm going to be there for the better part of a week, and so you know that I will be walking around New York City looking for interesting things to show you. From a psychological point of view, I need to realize that this trip will most likely occur, but none of us can know with certainty that it will occur. We can prepare for it, we can look forward to it, but we also have to have a little psychological preparation for the small possibility that something will come up and we won't be able to go. We need to be able to cope with that if that were to happen. If we worry about things in the future, there's an expression that we use to describe that called future tripping, And most experts in psychology don't recommend that people future trip. The ancient Stoic philosophers tell us that one who suffers sooner than is necessary suffers more than is necessary. I think that is correct. So I don't want a future trip about this excursion, but I do want to anticipate it and plan for it. If everything goes well, the entire concert band will show up in New York for this unique opportunity to perform at Carnegie Hall. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.